Good morning, everybody. This is Robin Ayub from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another conversation. Welcome to another episode. Today, I am celebrating the episode number 100. And for this, I have the honor and pleasure and distinct pleasure to have with me Kit Hall and Arissa Heise from Kit. You're on the ACTFL and Language Connect side of our world, of Language World. And Arissa is a returning third time, I think, Arissa,
yes,
returning guest to this channel. Everybody's familiar with Arissa. So without any further ado, if you don't mind, first, welcome to the conversation, both of you, and glad to have you with me today. If you don't mind, we'll start with Kit, and if you don't mind, Kit, introducing yourself to the audience.
Sure. Thank you, Robin. It's wonderful to be here and how exciting to be part of the 100th episode. I am the current director of the Language Connects Foundation, which is the charitable affiliate of ACTFL. Many of you, I'm sure, in this community know ACTFL, formerly the American Council for the Teaching of Foreign Languages, now known only by its acronym. And ACTFL is best known for two things: language proficiency assessments and providing resources and professional development for language educators. So they are the unique in that they're the only member association that serves all languages at all levels. And the Language Connects Foundation was launched 2 years ago, November 2022, as the charitable affiliate, and really in response to what ACTFL leadership saw as a crisis in teacher recruitment and retention. So the foundation serves to expand and extend ACTFL's impact through support for current and future language teachers, as well as really championing multilingualism and its, I don't know, critical importance to kind of global, yep, citizenship.
Absolutely.
That's sort of how those two organizations come together, ACTFL and the Language Connects Foundation.
Great. Arissa, would you mind introducing yourself as well? Thank you.
Sure. So my name is Arissa Heise. I'm all in for languages. And when it comes to all terms of languages and communication in general, because what language does what brings us closer and what makes sure that not only we understand each other in the first line of communication, but we believe and trust each other and work together. So United States is one of those nations that have believed in being multicultural, multilingual. So I'm very happy to be here for this cause. I run a language service company. I work as an interpreter. I have been on both sides of like not being able to communicate and helping communication in general. So I'm very happy that we have this time here again to talk about what is, how important it is to support Language Connect Foundation and its mission, but also to make people aware that we need to be all in it together, not separate for this. It's a matter that touches us all.
Absolutely. And, you know, we always talk about languages in a sort of like an education point or academic point, but I don't think we give enough emphasis or importance to languages in terms of solutions. And humanity has a lot of problems. And I think languages are part of the solution. And I always say that, and I put that in several blog posts, I put that in several videos, that languages help bridge the gap between the understanding between various demographics, et cetera, and reduce the tension that you would see in a, take it on a personal or, you know, one-on-one or a group of countries in that matter, in terms of how we understand each other's cultures. To that degree, I got somebody who responded to one of my videos saying, no, I don't think, you know, languages can reduce the friction between countries. You know, it doesn't solve all the problems. I get that. I understand that. But it helps solve some. And if you're not solving a problem, I don't think you should stand on the sideline. In our world, it doesn't matter what the problems are. I think anybody can solve the problem. They should step in and solve it. I guess that's our human behavior as a human. So, and I, based on this, one of the questions I have for you is, what sparked all this for you? Like, tell me your story. Like, everybody has a story. What got you into this?
Sure. You know, I came to ACTFL not as a former educator. I've never been a teacher, but with 15 years of experience in nonprofit fundraising. Okay. I'm also the mother of three and have seen really firsthand the life-changing benefits of studying languages and studying abroad. So when ACFL's launch of the foundation really was just a professional opportunity for me that I didn't feel I could pass up, you know, to be part of something new, part of something that is so relevant and so timely now, particularly in this, you know, climate, international climate, and an opportunity to kind of start and build an infrastructure, recruit volunteer leadership. Wonderful board members like Arissa are part of the Language Connects Foundation board. So that's kind of how I found my way here.
And Arissa, like for you, you know, I know I've talked to you before on several occasions, and, you know, you strike me as you get like a very active voice in terms of supporting the Language Connect initiatives, which we've talked about before, you and I.
Yes.
Why is that?
Yes, and actually, I agree 100% of what you said, Robin, is not only in a personal level why language is important, but going beyond that country level, it's also very, very important. And I will bring it to a little bit more like actual situation. Recently, a couple of days ago, we had the famous meeting in the Oval Office between President Trump and President of Ukraine, Zelensky. And a lot of political analysts that I was hearing about this meeting was due to language differences and language barriers. So I think that as relevant as it can be, is that even in matters of so higher up, language makes a huge difference. The way we express ourselves is not only, oh, I speak this language, is I understand this language. I understand what it means, every single word we say. So I believe it's very accurate, it's very actual. So that's why I'm here, because I think that one thing that can bring us all in together as humans, not just population separately, is how to communicate, interact by respecting each other and understanding each other.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I agree. I saw that the nuance of language was so critically lost in that conversation between President Trump and President Zelensky. And I've read so many kind of reports that sort of intuit that if there had been an interpreter there, that would have been so incredibly helpful, not only in the language nuances, but also to kind of lower the temperature, lower the pace of this conversation, which would have changed probably the outcome.
Absolutely. Exactly. It's very crazy. You know, we always say in the language industry and on the business side of the language industry, we always complain, not complain, and it's a fact that in businesses and industry look at language in terms of where does it sit in the hierarchy of their business requirement as an afterthought, as the, you know, the last piece that you would think about in any type of things, you know, projects, written projects or audio projects, whatever you've got on the go. And it sounds like, you know, a meeting, an important meeting such as the one that you guys are describing, it sounds like, you know, we've looked at everything from organizing the A, Bs, and Cs in terms of how you put a meeting together. You know, we forgot to put an interpreter in the room, which would have been very crucial.
Exactly. I think
light of it, but I mean, that sounds like, you know, from what Kit is mentioning here, and I'm not familiar with the topic that much, I just read what's on the news, it sounds like it could have solved a huge issue.
Yes. And I think also, Robin, another thing that I think is adding up to what you're saying is the fact that we learn how to speak maybe is the first thing we learn as we develop as humans after maybe walking. So it comes like naturally to us that everybody does the same, but we forget that language is not just how different we are, it represents us culturally, how we see things and how we understand things. And not to just focus on this meeting, but a couple of days ago, again, it's another paradox that is happening in our, you know, in our era, that US is trying to have an official language, which is English, which has never been before. So all of these are showing us our tentatives to make it in a business line, to not see language for its importance and communication, not specifically just as an ability to speak a certain language, but to communicate. I think it's very crucial and detrimental that will need to be addressed, because otherwise we will go and have more conflicts rather than more peace and communication.
So, Kit, what do you think of that, English being the official language of the United States?
I think it really defies the logic and the benefits of language learning and building communities and global citizenship. And the ACFL community, of course, is very concerned. But I think as we talk about kind of the importance of language in business success, ACFL did a report in 2019 called Making Languages Our Business, which included a survey of 1,200 companies, all sectors and all sizes, and 90% of them agreed and confirmed that they really relied on employees with language skills and language proficiency, and that 75% of them said they lost business. Mm-hmm. So we know there's a critical part of language learning, that's part of not only business success, and then, a whole other discussion about national security. So keeping our country safer.
Yep.
Language is important.
When I first listened to the news, I didn't think much of it. You know why? Because Canada has an official language policy, obviously. I live in Canada and I work out of this country here. And our official language policy is English and French, obviously. And also now we've added in the past year, I think, or 2 years, we've added the Aboriginal languages. Not all of them, but the government have selected half a dozen languages and added them to the language policy as an official language policy. And so when I heard the news, I thought, every country probably needs to have their own official languages. It doesn't mean in the United States you're not able to conduct business in any other language. I didn't think that would be prohibited. Am I reading this correctly or no?
My concern, or one of the concerns that I've heard voiced this week, has been that currently public services, medicine, healthcare, have communications in many languages, and would adopting one language, English, for the U.S. really truncate that kind of support?
Oh, I see.
And is it perhaps an anti-immigration policy? Is our country becoming less welcoming then?
Yeah. No, there's some solid consideration there, and it's an executive order. I don't know how long executive order last in the United States, maybe for the duration of the administration. I don't know. Maybe the next administration probably will change it. No idea how that works for you guys.
Yeah, I'm not clear either. I believe it's, it has to then be reversed by either the current administration or the next one.
Yeah. Now, just let's go back to Language Connect for a second and ACTFL and your support to the educators. And in general, and the how does that work? And what are the initiatives that you have in place to support them? Can you talk to me a little bit about
that? Sure, love to. And Arisa, jump in. I know this is part of your bailiwick now too, as a board member. So I think one of our programs that we're really most proud of is a future teacher scholarship program. That it's been in existence since probably for 6 or 7 years now. And this is financial support for high school seniors who are committed to becoming language teachers. So it's renewable 4 times during their higher education journey. We have 53 current future teachers enrolled and about 15 alumni who are in their first classroom. So that's one way that we financially support future language educators. And then we have a partnership with Vista Higher Learning, mm-hmm, that provides micro grants to K-12 teachers for cultural experiences. We all know that so many particularly public school teachers in this country, are spending a lot of their own funds to support some of their classroom activities. So we're really delighted to partner with Vista Higher Learning on this. And then we have, ACFL has a longstanding professional awards and also the National Teacher, Language Teacher of the Award that are managed by the Language Connects Foundation. Those provide financial support and really celebrate education and language education in a lot of different categories. And then on the kind of non-financial but very important support, we have a lot of advocacy resources. I mentioned one report that really promotes and advocates for language learning. We have a blog where we feature both students and professionals whose language learning and language proficiency has really fueled their lives and kind of benefited them in so many ways. So we love to feature those kind of stories as inspiration for language students when they're thinking about studying something else besides language. That blog and that Advocacy Resource Center is a terrific way for school districts, educators who need to help a kind of narrative to help support their programs. Unfortunately, so many of these programs are in crisis and are, you know, at risk of being truncated here in the U.S. So we love, this is a growing kind of resource center of resources that we love to direct people to.
And before I move on to Arisa, just one additional question, if you don't mind, Kit, is that are the activities are across the United States? Are they concentrated in certain states versus others?
They're across the United States, yes. And I should have mentioned, we also, ACFL has an annual conference each year, and we provide first-time stipends for early career educators to join that conference and really benefit from all the professional development and learning opportunities and the networking there.
Absolutely. And Arisa, you're on the board. What do you think?
Yes. Oops, sorry. Okay, so I'm on board because, as I said, I believe in the mission, and always I've thought that teachers are the role models, the first role models after our parents when we transition to education. The language teachers should be those that not only introduce us to a foreign language, but to a foreign culture, to open our windows. So that's why I fully, as an industry, I don't only represent, I think, myself as Arisa, but part of being in the language service industry, I think that we as an industry are big supporter of this. And we definitely are in the first row by this podcast. I want to invite every language service company or every company out there who believes that having to support teachers who teach foreign languages, having to support foreign language education, it's crucial to their employee well-being, to their culture well-being in their companies, in their business that they run, should be part of this. And we have a lot of opportunities to support our mission and to support our work, not specifically being in board members or just to be part of supporting our initiatives, as Kit said, for different initiatives that we have. But we are open to ideas, suggestions, how to help this profession to progress, to be welcoming more new teachers that will be available to teach languages. But also because I'm a bilingual by birth. I was born in another country. I immigrated in the United States. So I'm very passionate about protecting my language and protecting the values and the culture that my language represents. So definitely would love to see, in my case, an Albanian teacher to teach Albanian people or interested people that would like to know about this old, very old language in the Eastern European, to know about it, to learn about it, and also to be exposed to what we represent. And I believe that all of us that are coming from different backgrounds would be supporting this initiative. So I love what we're doing, to be honest.
Kit seems to be happy that you are on board and you're pushing this. I love the passion that you bring to the conversation, Arisa. That's great.
Always.
So I love the idea that you're trying to target the educators pool, if you will, or future pool at the high school level. Generally, past high school, they probably already decided where they want to go, and it's very hard to convince them to switch directions and get into the profession, right? Getting involved with them at the high school level is pretty interesting. And are you seeing results? Can you point to a few initiatives that you think they were successful?
We know from our graduates of our scholarship program how critically important the support of ACFL and the Language Connects Foundation has been to their educational journey. And I think in addition to, again, kind of focused on that program, in addition to the financial support, there's quite a significant piece of networking and mentoring that comes with that from other ACFL members, longer service educators. So that's, we hear intuitively how incredibly important that's been to these groups of, early career teachers, as we call them.
That's true.
It's interesting that you made note about kind of once students get to college, they've already decided their path and educational journey. And we've discovered actually that several, you know, many people have shared with us that they didn't decide to be an educator until they got very excited about studying language and or somehow mentoring or tutoring, and then decided, oh gosh, this could be a career for them. We are hoping to add this year the opportunity for students already enrolled in higher ed to actually receive some of these scholarships. And one of the things I didn't mention, one of the programs we started shortly after the foundation's launch was a student ambassador program specifically for higher ed students who aren't committed to teaching, but want to stay connected to other like-minded students across the globe, and also want to help sustain and promote their language programs on their campuses. So we're very proud of that. We have 47 student ambassadors now, and they are in 13 countries around, you know, outside of the U.S. So that's been a significant program for us, and, you know, one that we hope will continue to grow.
Do you see a situation where, you know, we're going through, as you know, the language industry is going through a lot of metamorphosis, I call them, with the technology, with the process, everything is changing, and it's always been like this. I mean, the industry's always been changing, but now we're screaming a little bit more now about it because of the amount of changes that's taking place.
The pace.
That's right. Do you see a situation where a translator who's been translating for, you know, so odd years decides or got interested in this conversation that we're having right now and says, but you know what? I would like to become an educator teaching another language. Is that a possibility?
I think it is. And I think there are many kind of alternative paths to certification. And I've met several people in the last couple of years who came from the business, you know, world, who then somewhere along the line decided they really had a passion for education and wanted to mentor youth and or some combination of that. The challenge, I believe, is that the alternative paths to certification are different in every state. So because there's not really a national standard for how Arisa and I might make that transition into the education field, it doesn't make it impossible, but it certainly makes it more difficult to standardize those pathways.
You mean like between states, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Arisa, anything to comment on this?
Yes. I mean,
you're still delivering the services now.
Yes, we are. And that's a good idea, like becoming an educator. Never thought, but now talking to you, Robin, and Takeda, I might consider seeing that as an opportunity, because when you work in language service, like you said, a translator, especially an interpreter that is very adequate in fluencing language communication and how the language are delivered. So definitely education would be another sector to see himself or herself, because not only you do what you are, you know, best, serving the language, but also you bring more new generations and to this, not only to the industry, because also us, Robin, in our service industry, language service industry, we're lacking resources of qualified interpreters, translators. We need to scream out loud that being a bilingual not necessarily makes you an interpreter or translator. We're going remote, we're going offshore, but to have the standards that we need to serve in our industry, we need to make sure that everybody that joins our industry is highly vetted and credible and certified. So I think the two ways, pathways, very possible here. You can go from an interpreter to a qualified educator, but also vice versa. As an educator, as a teacher, you can also be qualified and go and serve in the language service industry. So that's sure. The beauty of being together in this.
Absolutely. You know, as an educator teaching foreign language, all I can think about right now is, you know, how many classrooms, young, bright minds are listening or, you know, witnessing a teacher given, you know, their, you know, 100% in teaching them another language or trying to make them exposed to another culture at a young age. And how does that resonate with them? And are we, you know, a question mark to both of you, are we at that young age planting the seeds that hopefully mature at some point, and this individual becomes either, you know, a functioning individual in the language industry or supporting the language industry in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I think we know that the earlier you start learning languages, the better, and the benefits extend far beyond just the language learning, but there are so many cognitive benefits. And I think that one of the saddest things that's happening in the US is that many of these early education language programs are being shut down for financial reasons. And that's where we hope the Language Connects Foundation advocacy work and ACFL's advocacy work can continue to have impact. I'll stop there.
You know what? You know, it's a very interesting and very admirable and highly regarded cause that you guys are pushing. To be able to say to the world, you know, our interest is to teach another language, to get you to know another culture. At the 100,000 foot level discussion, it is very, very admirable, honorable. I don't know how you want to say it. It's a very humane way of addressing the differences that we're currently seeing, you know, on a basic way. I mean, in demographics, in cultures, etc. I speak 3 languages fluently, and I understand 5 in general. If I...
That's impressive.
I was not at a young age. I mean, you know, I just remember myself as a young kid learning these languages when I was a kid. My brain, it's automatically programmed. If I go to any culture and I sit with them for 6 months, I can guarantee you I'll be semi-functioning in that language without going to classroom. Why? It's because now you programmed a brain to become a sponge, to learn by listening and adapting and behaving. I'm not an educator, but I'm just speaking about my own personal experience, how I've learned.
Yes. Can I also add, I think that US is the best country that needs this the most at this point, because speaking English and learning English in other countries is becoming like naturally coming as a mandatory assignment to all young generations. But because you are born or raised in US, you don't need another language. You basically can speak English anywhere. So the idea why we believe that US have to have these programs, have to support this program of teaching new languages in schools or having this opportunity to train new language teachers is because here, obviously, it's not very obvious that we need this. There is a demand at this point, but the consequences will be detrimental if we don't support this cause. And also, as you're saying, Robin, not only because you become a sponge cognitively when you learn a new language, but you open a window. We create better humans for the future, humans that understand culture, accept different culture, accept different mindset, not closed-minded and very like, you know, close to their environment, more open to those.
Yeah. Most of the disagreements happen because we don't understand each other as demographics, right, as cultures, etc. You know, and I want to throw something out there, maybe controversial, I don't know. It doesn't make us less American or less Canadians by learning another language. You know, there is a room for somebody to be nationalist, being a Canadian and speak whatever language I want to speak, but I can remain to be Canadian. Similar for you, I'm assuming learning another language, it doesn't make you less American. It makes you more, probably better American. I don't know, more educated.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the theory is out there. Is it to a point right now, if you don't speak English, you're not an American? I don't know. Explain it to me.
I don't mean to smirk, but I think the current political environment would want you to believe that if you don't speak English, you're not an American. And that's tragic for all the reasons that Arisa, you know, so, you know, well described.
That's right. Yeah. So just going back a little bit, Kit, you said, how are you funded? We talk a little bit about financial challenges, and that's why some of the classrooms are being shut down or some of the services associated are being shut down. Where do you get the money?
Yeah, well, so our current funding is coming from ACFL and ACFL's leadership and board of directors were committed several years ago to launch this foundation and help sustain it for several years. So we are very lucky in that regard. But we, from day one, our charge was to find funding and particularly find companies who would be willing to invest in helping to sustain the language education profession for all the reasons that we know it's incredibly important for economic success and national security, et cetera. And that latter support has been surprisingly hard to find. I think most companies, and again, I like link back to this report that was done several years ago now, Making Languages Our Business, but most companies would confirm that they need employees with language skills in order to succeed, and not just in jobs that are overseas, but in domestic positions, but are having a very hard time finding them.
And I'm assuming not just companies, I'm assuming even like federal departments, like if you're State Department, for instance.
Yes.
Don't they speak another language with another
country
or something? I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. So our national security depends on this as well. And when I speak to company representatives, you know, for example, in HR, they're the first to say, well, gosh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, Kit, but really, I don't have money in HR to help support this. You need to speak to the marketing people. And the marketing people are very focused, as they should be, and I've been on this job before, you know, on ROI. And the ask that we're making of companies is really to make a long-term investment, that, you know, an investment and a gift to the foundation today is supporting current and future language educators who are educating your, you know, future employees, Company X. So we've had a surprisingly difficult time finding funding for those initiatives in the past 2 years, but certainly have several wonderful partners. I mentioned Vista Higher Learning, CLET World Languages. Many of these companies we knew already because they were partners of ACFL in some way.
So and Arissa, like for somebody who's listening to this podcast, I hope first they're learning something. And it is very educational for me today to learn from you two about this important initiative that you guys are guiding and championing and putting through together. You know, hopefully you find a better time ahead. I understand there's some difficulties you're being faced with right now, but I'm assuming this will go away eventually. And I hope so. That's my fingers crossed kind of thing. I still have a couple of more items I want to address with you. One is, what's the impact of technology? Are you seeing any on the initiatives that you're trying to put together or on the future of Language Connect?
Arissa, do you want me to start with that?
Yes, please.
I'm sure AI has had a huge impact on the localization translation. But, you know, ACFL is very supportive of AI used responsibly and sees it as a really terrific tool for educators and language educators to enhance language learning in their classrooms. You know, we all recognize that AI is not going to replace teachers. And for all the reasons that Arissa so well communicated, the nuance of language, the importance of culture, that, you know, we see it as an added benefit, again, if used responsibly.
Yes, and I want to add something here. Also, I want to see the positivity on the side of technology. It also offers us opportunities because now the traditional classroom is not as traditional as it used to be. So languages can be learned online. So courses are being developed online with opportunities for new teachers or teachers, current teachers, to teach their skills online, not necessarily physically or in person. So this is a great opportunity to help, you know, boost this. But also in terms of language service, we all agree that AI is here for long and AI will be a tool that will help us do a better job. But necessarily, we have to agree that we have to combine forces with AI, not to fight it off, but to accept it, to learn it, to use it better. And I definitely accept the fact that with AI, we need to set the bar higher than it used to be for our quality as professionals that we represent either in language service industry or also language teaching. So teachers have to be more adept, more adequate to use the technology, also providers of language. So definitely it's a good thing.
You know, I interviewed somebody here on the channel in a teaching capacity, and I was told that they are using AI to do preparations, like course preparations, generate ideas around that, or get the creativity juice moving, I guess, in the right direction in the prep phase. Obviously,
yeah, AI curriculum development, things like that. I also think that students can practice their language proficiency, certainly their oral proficiency and written proficiency using AI.
Absolutely. And, you know, as technology continue advancing, I think, and, you know, just I'm using myself as an example, AI is making it easier for people to learn and assist in the role of the being a student and it making the job of the teacher a little easier, because now it opened the door for more practice, more research. Try to be able to practice your audio, as you mentioned, Kit, and you know, the way you pronounce things. With the audio capability of AI now, it's very easy. I can, you know, click audio and an AI would listen to me and would tell me what I did wrong and how do I correct things. Becomes your sidekick teacher, if you will, that is with you all the time.
Yes. And I think a lot of the kind of the apps, the Duolingo, et cetera, have, you know, this wonderful gaming, for lack of a better word, function, which, you know, people who've been on and done had their streaks of 1,000 days or all these things. It's kind of exciting. Sure, yeah. We're all.
And you know what, as much as we talk about technology, especially on the teaching side, it's still a human function, right? So, yes. I mean, as Arissa was mentioning earlier, it's still 100%, you know, not, I don't want to say 100%, but close to 90% a human function. Like, it's not taking the human out of the teaching function, right? Now, one of the things that you mentioned earlier, you know, like a lot of these programs are facing some financial difficulties, et cetera. But at the school level, are you seeing any issues at the school level? Or how do you encourage schools who do not have a, let's say, a language program to get into it?
We are seeing a lot of challenges at the school level, both kind of K-12 as well as higher ed. And you've probably heard some of the headlines, West Virginia University among them, you know, that have really shut down or plan to shut down their language programs in the next few years for financial reasons. So it's really devastating and an unfortunate, more frequent trend, I think. And that's one of the reasons that ACFL has developed a very strong set of resources and advocacy resources. And actually my, you know, the executive director of ACFL is today at the Language Advocacy Days host, you know, on the Hill, on Capitol Hill today, advocating for the continuation of funding for language learning and language programs. We are often asked to write letters to school superintendents and school boards who are considering cutting funding for language programs, and it's happening more and more frequently.
Wow. That's crazy. At this day and age?
Yes.
We need more language connection, not less.
Well, right. And I think we're hearing that the Department of Education, President Trump is, you know, planning to shut the Department of Education down. I mean, there's some real crisis in education and certainly language education.
It's true. Now, and for our listeners who are generally from outside the industry or from inside the industry, you know, the language, you know, when we talk about the lack of interpreters, the lack of translators in our industry, you know, this is where it starts. It starts at the education level. It starts at encouraging the young minds to enter into the profession at any stage of the education process. I get that. But generally speaking, at a young age, when you expose them to new languages, expose them to new cultures, and that sort of drives them in that direction. And if we don't have that, then you create a gap. Generally, the language industry is made up of translators and interpreters. Generally, it's an aging population. Forgive me for saying this,
yes,
but if you take a snapshot across our entire industry, interpreters and translators are not getting any younger. I'm sorry. And they are going to face retirement at some point. So the question is, who is the next generation who's going to take on the language torch, if you will, and continue pushing it forward? And this is where you guys come in. I'm so happy that we're having this conversation today. I'll take it on my side. Anything I can do to help push this initiative forward in using this channel or using my, you know, platforms, I'm happy to support you guys. What do you think you need from the rest of the industry? How does the rest of the industry get involved with you, support you, and push you to the next level?
Okay, so can I?
Go
so
ahead.
I want to talk to the industry leaders or everybody who serves, works, have been part or are part of this industry in two matters. First, as an industry representative and working with languages and knowing the importance of language and knowing the importance of accessing the language service everywhere. Doesn't matter if it's medical, finance, legal, governmental institutions. So everywhere is needed. So we are the best representative and best ambassadors leaders to know the importance of language access. And we all are facing this challenging situation, especially in US with everything that is going on. But we are open-minded. We see the challenge and we face the challenge, but we have to support people who support our mission, that is to give access to everybody who, no matter what language they speak. And we're not talking about only spoken language, you know, blind, deaf. So every type of access that we can give to our communities that live and are part of our communities in US or not only in US to have better accessibility. But also as parent, as Kit said, when you have a child, you know the importance of creating a better world for them. And creating a better world starts at a young age. You want to have them presented or introduced to different varieties of this world. And this comes with language, this comes with having people from foreign entities to come and interact with you. And this example has set US in a different level. I personally migrated to US, to the dreamland, with this hope that US was that country that welcomed everybody, that loved everybody, that was open to serve to everybody. So I think we need to embrace that and we need to support that, everybody.
And so I'm calling on all of our leaders here in the industry who's listening to this to get engaged, get involved, reach out to the guests that I have on the podcast today, Kit and Arisa, and voice your opinion and ask, how can I support you? How can I help you? This is all of us problem. This is not just Language Connect problem. This is the entire industry issue. The industry is suffering from lack of resources. That's where it starts, in education. And if we're not paying attention to education, guess what's going to happen? What's going to happen is the most dreadful thing that our industry doesn't want is more technology to replace humans. Yes. If you don't have a human, then you got to get technology in. And when technology gets in, nobody's happy.
And the exactly. End product is not better. Correct. Yeah.
So I know you have like several things on your website, which I want to ask you about. Like, what is the deal of biliteracy before it?
Yeah, I am not the expert at that, but I can certainly speak to what it is. So the Seal of Biliteracy is a certification for high school graduates to confirm their proficiency, and it's very valuable, you know, education, higher ed and kind of college applications. And it hopefully is becoming more increasingly valuable to employers as well.
Okay.
And actually, it was just last year that the 50th state adopted the Seal of Biliteracy. So while it's operationalized differently in every state, like mm-hmm. so many other things, it's kind of really a national, you know, trend now.
And also you have the, I don't think it's Language Connect, I think it's ACTFL annual convention. You're involved in that, right?
Yes, absolutely. The whole ACTFL organization is really supports and is involved in the convention next year, or this year rather, November, it will be in New Orleans.
Okay.
We are trying to find partners and excited about finding partners who in the New Orleans and Louisiana area who want to support early career language educators in their professional development and having them attend, helping support their attendance at our convention. So all of those international companies in the New Orleans area who are listening, please reach out. So yes, the convention is in November. It is usually attended by 6,000 or more educators from around the globe. There's a broad range of exhibitors represented there from various industries, publishing, language apps, technology, exciting things. And 3 or 4 days of really terrific professional development opportunities.
And from my side, I mean, I do this sometimes. If you want, as you get closer to the convention in November, if you want to come back to the channel and talk specifically about the convention and promote it a little bit for you, we'll be very happy to do that for you.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Thank you, Robin. And I can bring some of my colleagues who work very directly on the convention from the ACTFL.
Just to give it a little bit more highlight in the industry that we're operating in. Is there anything else you would like to tell the audience before we wrap up this conversation? It was great having you both online here.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just welcome anyone who's more interested in supporting language education and championing multilingualism to join us, either as a donor or a financial partner or volunteer. We have many, many ways that you can engage and support our mission.
Absolutely. Arissa?
Yes, and I want to say to everybody that is listening from the industry, the language service industry or outside, don't be afraid of the challenges we have ahead. If we get together and if we work together toward our mission, because we know what our mission is and is the right mission, is the mission to welcome everybody, let's be holding each other's hand and let's make these challenges disappear altogether. Don't be isolated. Let's talk. Let's have conversation. Reach out to us anytime, and we would love to hear.
Absolutely. And from my side, I want to thank you both, Kit Hall and Arissa Heise from Language Connect. And I appreciate you being with me today. For our audience, I want to thank you for listening in on the podcast. And if you're watching us on YouTube, thanks for watching this video for this conversation. Again, I just want to remind everybody, this channel is supported by me. That's my personal initiative. Nobody pays me for this. I'm not making money out of this. It's completely personal initiative. I spend my evenings and weekends doing video editing. All I ask in return from everybody who's listening is to like, share, subscribe, and comment on the content that I produce. And all I do this is for the passion and for the love of languages and the language that it's bringing us together as a humanity across the globe. And from the audience and from me personally, thank you again for our guests. And thanks for the audience for listening in. Thank you. And I will see you at the next
episode. Thanks for having us.